Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's epistle reading, the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. So here we are on Super Bowl Sunday. When I first came to America, it was always the last Saturday of January, but it slipped up to the first Sunday in February now. And of course, you will not be surprised, I am hoping for the Saints to win. Not because necessarily my profession, but it's a feel-good story, isn't it? So I will be fascinated with the game today and hoping at about 6:30 or 7 there might be a big party in Bourbon Street, New Orleans. I'm also going to be interested in an advertisement that is scheduled on CBS during the Super Bowl by Tim Tebow. Some of you may know about this advertisement. It's a pro-life advertisement, and in case you don't know the background, Tim Tebow is, I think, a college footballer, and his mother and father were Christian missionaries in South America at the time he was born. And Mrs. Tebow already had, I think, 5 children, and the doctors advised her that she should have an abortion because of the danger of his birth. Being a devout Christian, she said, no way. And he has gone on to be a professional footballer. And so he and his mother, I believe, are doing an advert. No one's seen it yet, so we wait to see, which is, of course, pro-life. And there is some controversy about it, and there are calls that the ad should not be seen. It's inappropriate, I read someone saying, for such an event. You know, I'm surprised. America is the land of free speech. And we have ads today for beer, and we have wardrobe malfunctions, but we cannot have an advertisement about life. And I'm even more surprised because America is the home of religious advertising at sporting events. Many years ago, before I came to the States, I was rather taken aback to see, I think it was a baseball match, little banner waved in the crowd, John 3:16. It's been doing that for a long time. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life, is far more Christian than a pro-life advertisement, because non-Christians and other people of faith support a pro-life advertisement, but John 3:16 is only a Christian message. If we can have that at a sporting event, I think anything can be shown. And I'm fascinated about all this because John 3:16 is echoed very much by our epistle reading today, 1 Corinthians 15. In this epistle reading, St. Paul is not only saying that the heart of the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, but also he rose from the dead and appeared to Peter and the apostles and then to hundreds of others. Not only that, what is really important is that St. Paul says that this is the gospel he preached to them, and unless they stand firm and hold it fast, their faith is in vain. So St. Paul is saying the same thing that John 3:16 says. And it is also the message of today's gospel, the calling of Peter. From the gospel reading, we see St. Peter called by Jesus to be an apostle. And obviously he was not quite convinced about Jesus. He has some disbelief, we might say. Although he had already seen Jesus heal people, so he knew that Jesus was a healer and a preacher, but he hadn't got to the stage of understanding who Jesus really was. And then this miraculous catch of fish that convinced Peter finally of who Jesus was. And so he declares, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man," because he realized he had been such a disbeliever in who Jesus was. He was aware that he was a sinner, like all of us, in his disbelief. But you see, in the gospel, his disbelief had been blown out of the water, literally. Peter was suddenly aware that he was unworthy to be in the company of this man who invites him to follow him and to be a fisher of men. Later, St. Peter would know the reality to his own shame that Jesus died for our sins. For on that night before Good Friday, he denied Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus restored him later on after the resurrection, in another lakeside scene and another catch of fish, when Jesus appeared and said to him, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these others?" And Simon Peter said, "Lord, you know I do." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And at that moment, he knew the healing and reconciling love of the risen Lord Jesus. Now you notice in both the Gospel and the Epistle today that both Peter and Paul feel entirely unworthy. St. Paul recaps his career before he had that conversion and says he is the least of the apostles. And St. Peter, of course, feels entirely sinful and unworthy. In our first reading, Gideon feels the same way. So today we are presented with three strong men of God concerned about their own inadequacies and their sinfulness. And look how their ministries became so important, all three. Last Tuesday I had a magnificent celebration of the 30th anniversary of my ordination, and I thank the parish for celebrating with me in such a wonderful way. And of course, Tuesday and Wednesday have been days of reflecting on 30 years as a priest in Christ Church. And I couldn't help going back to the beginning and remembering how inadequate I felt before ordination in those first years, and the mistakes I've made as a priest, and they weren't all made in the first 5 years, I can tell you. And yet God has still used me, and I have tried to be a valiant warrior for the Lord like Gideon, Peter and Paul. And so turning that around and thinking of this controversy about the Super Bowl advertisement, I cannot help to think the challenges all of us face, whether ordained or lay, are very much the same challenges the first Christians faced all those years ago. In fact, the signs of our times are very similar to those beginning days, that first century. Not least wars and conflict, and I'm not just referring to wars and conflict geographically, but wars and conflict spiritually and morally. So, a question: how did a small group of apostles evangelize their culture so that 400 years later the Christian religion was the world's dominant religion and the foundation of this Western civilization that we continue to enjoy? It's a good question. How did they do that? And maybe it's a lesson for us in a similar age and civilization. In his book, The Rise of Christianity, which addresses this very subject, the American agnostic Rodney Stark gives two reasons for the growth of the church at the very beginning. Firstly, he says, what Christians believed, and secondly, their faithfulness to that doctrine. He says this: an essential factor in the religion's success was what Christians believed. And that, of course, is exactly the point St. Paul is making in today's epistle. The church, through the apostles, preached the simple gospel that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. But those early Christians didn't just agree to a set of ideas or possibilities. Believing that gospel meant changing their whole way of thinking and living. And it was such a radical transformation that they couldn't go on living like the people around them. Have you ever actually thought about the final stanza of the Nicene Creed that we say every Sunday, "I believe one holy, Catholic and apostolic church"? You probably think you are stating that you believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church, and that you acknowledge it exists and you are a member of it. But we don't say, I believe in one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We say, actually, I believe one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. That is, that we believe all the Catholic Church teaches us. We believe it. We don't just believe in it. It's about what we believe and what, as St. Paul says, has been handed on to us. What we call the tradition of the Church, which this parish stands for above all other things, and the unbroken teaching of the Church. The first Christians understood that they were members of a new worldwide community, which was the new people of God and the body of Christ in the world. They saw the culture around them as a culture of death and a society slowly killing itself in despair. And of course, so it did. As we consider our calling to follow the same Lord Jesus Christ, like Peter and Paul, we do well to consider that if the Roman Empire and its Caesars could be won for our Lord, we can do the same like them in our own day. What it takes is the zeal of a Gideon, the courage of St. Paul, and the commitment of St. Peter to live what we claim to believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.